Hey guys, Joel here. Before we get into our episode today, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Homefield Apparel for sponsoring this episode. They are a vintage college, officially licensed apparel brand with vintage college designs from a ton of different colleges and universities throughout the country. Their Oklahoma State line dropped earlier this month. I have the Oklahoma A&M Pistol Pete shirt. It's one of my favorite Oklahoma State shirts that I own. One of the most comfortable shirts in my collection across any sort of brands that I have. Homefield digs through the archives to find the most unique logos, mascots, etc., and create thoughtful designs for each school. The initial Oklahoma State line is what's out right now. There are more designs to come in the future. If you want to go and buy one of your a new Homefield shirt for the Oklahoma State line or any of the other various colleges that they have, use code CRFF at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. Homefieldapparel.com. Use code CRFF at checkout for 15% off. Without further ado, we'll get into our interview Philip and I have with NFL agent Luke McMurtry. Really fun conversation. Talk about the draft process and how that's been for him and his clients, and Oklahoma State and how the draft process can go for them. A little bit of spring football, a little bit of everything. It was a fun conversation. Hope you guys enjoy it. Talk to y'all next week. Into the Short Porch Saloon. My name is Joel Penfield, joined as always by Philip Slavin. How are you doing tonight?
Having a good time. I'm sitting here drinking springtime. Bugs get that. I got an early bird from Flyway. It's a brewery in North Little Rock, not far from my abode. It's quite tasty. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm sitting here on a Tuesday night, glued to Twitter because Mike Boynton put out his brand of guess what, we landed somebody but I can't tell you who it is tweet, which is a combination of emojis that is, let's get these right. Nothing ever wants to pop up when I want it to. Eyeballs, cowboy hat, smiley face, basketball, construction crane, and flex, ... hashtag let's work. So I wish he was landed another commit. I would guess it's another 2021. No idea. I maybe we'll find out while we're recording, which would be awesome. I have no clue. Like, I have no good read. Maybe it's the kid. It's don't even ask me to say names right now. I'm so tired. Is it the kid from Auburn? Is that right? Sophomore, the backup point guard? Maybe. Sevier? Wheeler? I don't know. I'm done rambling. Joel, take over, please. Save this show.
Yeah. No, I know this is a very beer-slash-drink-friendly podcast. I will not tonight because my roommates from college surprised me this weekend. We went to the OC baseball game and then proceeded to hit Washington Street. And I can't drink like I did in college. I'll just put it that way. So I needed a couple of days off from that. Call me weak, call me whatever. Yeah, just that. When you have a damn near 2-day hangover, you know it was bad. And I'm just going to move on from that. Joining us tonight on this episode is Luke McMurtry. He is an NFL agent getting ready for the draft. We're going to talk a little bit about that, how the process has been over the last year. And he's an OSU grad, joined us around this time last year as well. Glad to have him back on. How's it going, man?
No, man. Thank you guys for having me back on. I thought I kind of messed it up last year saying and like a little too much, man. I'm just glad to be back on.
You clearly have never listened to an episode of this podcast because it's about half of what Philip and I say.
Hey, well, I'll talk about my drink of choice. I am with a strawberry raspberry Gatorade today. haven't had the flavor yet, so I thought I would dabble in that. Did not hit the strip this weekend, but I'm jealous of you for it.
It was a weird night because I never went to Murphy's in college, and we all were sitting at College Bar going, let's go to Murphy's because we just didn't do it.
How did you miss out on the palms of college?
It's just so overrated. Like, it really is. Now, when you can go and sit underneath the palms, which we did, good time, but we did it a time or two, but College Bar was our main place.
It had music. It had a little bit better vibe. I get it. I like the sweaty shoulder rubbing, just do laps around, and I loved it.
Better beer selection at College Bar, too.
I'll give you that.
All right, Luke. So how has this obviously 2020 was what it was, but it made obviously for a weird year in your profession because the season was weird and, you know, it was just ever-changing. Pro days were it was essentially the combine. How did everything that transpired in the last year really affected what you do?
Yeah, as you guys know, for me being on the pod last year was pretty weird, you know, because pro days kind of got cut short, got cut at the very end, but we were able to have the all-star games and a combine. So a couple guys kind of got the short end of the stick, but it was okay. This year has been much, much worse. From the start, they didn't have any all-star games except for the Senior Bowl. And so there are two other kind of the big three when it comes to all-star games. One being the Senior Bowl. There's another one called the East-West Shrine Game. It's usually played in Florida. And there's another one called the NFLPA Bowl. The NFLPA Collegiate Bowl. And that NFLPA Bowl is actually obviously sponsored by the NFLPA. And both the East-West Shrine and the NFLPA Bowl were canceled this year. They said that it was due to COVID and the funding behind it, that they weren't able to fund the – because, you know, guys usually share rooms and that kind of thing, and they would have to get a single hotel room. They'd have to do all the COVID testing every day. And so both of those games kind of folded for the year. And so that left – I mean, there's what, probably 80 guys who get invited to each – to those. So that's 160 guys right there who didn't get to go play against the best of the best kind of in this draft. So that was a huge, huge kind of miss and made me sad, man. I love going to LA, love going to the Rose Bowl, love going to East West Shrine down there. So that a lot of guys really missed out on that. And then not having a combine was just brutal. So like I've talked about before on the pod, these guys train for 2.5 months. As soon as they get done playing college ball, first week of January, they go to a training facility. And so these guys were training their butts off 2 or 3 times a day, not even knowing if we were going to have a combine. And they announced the end of January that they're canceling it. So all these players were kind of just like, what are we doing? What have we been working out for? So then pro days all happened, which was good. But the entire pro day circuit was a little messed up this year just due to things not being fair. For example, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, all those guys were able to run inside, climate controlled, you know, on the nice little turf. Then other guys at smaller schools, for example, Louisiana Monroe, they had their guys outside running 40s in 48 degree weather with a 16 mile per hour wind. So, man, it was pretty unfair. The times are, it's really hard to compare a lot of those 40 times and 3 cones and all that kind of thing. But man, other than that, the guys kind of knew what they were getting into by coming out this year. As everyone knows, they were offered another year of college if they wanted to come back. So all the guys coming out this year knew what they were getting themselves into. Just knew that it was a big question mark on how the process was going to go. Man, it affected it a whole lot. But everybody's positive. My guys are positive. And it's all going to work out in the end. But it was a very kind of messed up draft process this year. And I think there's only like half the normal eligible players for this draft as compared to normal. So next year we're going to see a huge influx of players who are eligible and are going to be signed by agents. So that we're really going to be feeling this ripple effect in the NFL for probably the next 2 to 3 years.
Are you good, Philip?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I was waiting to see if you had anything. Philip is so lost in recruiting that I guess he forgot that we were actually doing an interview.
Dude, I'm lost in recruiting. I'm physically, emotionally, and mentally tired. Look, we also
that was a 2-minute long monologue, so I don't blame you.
No, it was great. I always love having Luke on. So let's hit some of the OSU guys. We'll talk about some of the guys who we feel are going to get drafted, know we're going to get drafted, are curious about getting drafted. I wrote my 2021 predictions back in January. I think it was January. Maybe it was February. I don't know. Anyways, it's on the Cowboys Draft for Free site somewhere. I'm not going to go look for it because I don't want to. But there's one prediction I remember because I talked about this on the Greg Swaim show this weekend. Oklahoma State's record in the the modern draft era, if the number of players drafted in 1 year, is 4. It's happened twice, I think, during both times under Mike Gundy. I think 2011 was 2010, 2011 was one, 2013 was another. Okay. And my prediction for this year was that OSU would break the record and have 5 this year. I feel pretty good about 4 of them. I was Tevin Jenkins, who thinks he'll be a first-round pick, Tylan Wallace, Chuba Hubbard, and I would be shocked. I would be very surprised, and personally, my feelings would be hurt if Darius Williams is not drafted, because that would just be dumb. The guy was fantastic. If a fifth one does get drafted, Luke, who do you think it would be? My pick would be Amon Ogbonnamega. What do you think as far as if a fifth Oklahoma State player gets drafted? Or do you think it could actually only just be the three of Jenkins, Tylan, and Chuba?
I think Oklahoma State definitely will have 4 with the 4 you mentioned. And I could not agree more. Rodarius deserves to be drafted. Absolutely. And I think he, you know, the media, draft media and everything, don't really talk to the NFL a lot. And so I think they're a lot lower on him than the actual NFL is. I don't think he'll even go 6th, 7th. I think he'll probably go 4th or 5th. He's just not that hot kind of sexy name that everyone gets excited about. But man, if I had to pick, I'm a little bit of a sleeper. I think Dylan Stoner has a slight chance to be drafted. Before the season started, I was talking to some scouts, talking to people around the NFL, and a lot of teams, probably half the teams had a draftable grade on Stoner going into his final year. He just kind of needed that big year, really needed to step into that wide receiver 2 role and really kind of pad those stats up a little bit. The last couple games, he had 1 big game, you know, had a couple touchdowns and everything, so that absolutely helped. But didn't have as big of a year as the NFL was wanting. But that's a guy, even if he doesn't get drafted, I do think plays the NFL for 5 or 6 years at least, because what he can do on special teams, his football IQ, and just a high-character guy. With that being said, Amon also has a chance to get drafted. But if I had to pick my guy, I'm picking the sleeper, Dylan Stoner.
Yeah, I think Stoner would probably – I think because – My thing with Amon, and I think he's going to be a dude that's going to end up on an NFL roster, I would bet as probably like a day 3 linebacker, probably is looked at more of a special team only, at least early on.
100%.
And so I don't think a team wants to take a 6th or 7th round pick on a guy like that, as good as he is, and someone I think it can develop into a solid NFL player. But Dylan Stoner is able to contribute somewhat to your offense right away. It's like a wide receiver 4 or something like that. And he can return kicks and punts as he did at Oklahoma State. He can be a gunner on kickoff. I think he provides more versatility at this point as a late day 3 guy. That anything in day 3 is essentially a lottery pick. It's a lottery ticket. So, yeah, I can see a team taking a chance on him for sure. Just God, don't be the Patriots.
And I couldn't agree more with what you said. What the teams really like about him is he's a very, very large slot guy with soft hands. A lot of the kind of prototypical Patriots, little white kind of slot guys are a lot smaller, kind of shiftier route runners. But Dylan is a lot more athletic than people give him credit for. And he's a very, very big body, smart dude, high character guy with soft hands. So that's why I think a team kind of makes – and like you said, it's a lottery. It's kind of a gamble on day 3. A lot of those picks are. And I think that's a kind of safer gamble to make late in the draft.
Yeah, I know it's a good pick. It's crazy to say this feels like the year 5 guys go. When we've had years in the past that you could argue were more talented, but I think they're this is a commentary on how Oklahoma State recruits and develops that people don't give enough credit to. If you can't land the 5 stars and you're not going to Oklahoma State because there is a chicken or the egg situation, and the only way to get 5-star kids is to get them to come in groups and to show that you can get them drafted in the first round. But the only guarantee you're going to get guys drafted in the first round is to have a bunch of 5-stars show up on campus. So I don't know. The way Oklahoma State recruits, they look for versatility. They look for guys that fit certain molds. And you see a lot of guys, you know, that's why we see so many corners converted into safety, quarterbacks converted into corners, wide receivers,
safeties,
wide receiver,
linebackers,
safeties and linebackers, guys who play corner and wide receiver playing corner. Like, you're seeing certain types of players come into Oklahoma State and develop. And so I think this is a commentary on OSU when they shifted defensive schemes and brought in Jen Knowles, the reason it took time, they changed the way they started recruiting players and the kinds of players they started looking for, and you're seeing the fruits of that labor. You saw it this past year with the way the defense played. I think we're going to see it next year. I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off in the defense. There'll be a slight one because I don't think there's a Re'Darius Williams ready to go on the roster for next year, but I think you're starting to see that. I think you're going to see more defensive guys for OSU, and really, if you go look at OSU through the Gundy era, like, they've had more guys drafted on defense and offense anyways, which is a wild thing to say.
It's insane.
It is. I want to ask about Tylan for a second. One thing, and I think I wrote about this back when James Washington and Mason Rudolph got drafted. You know, Dez was so big for OSU because you had a guy that all these kids coming up were like, oh, I love Dez Bryant. He's my favorite receiver. All these receivers. I mean, he's basically been out of the league essentially for a while. And we're reaching that point where OSU doesn't have, I mean, Chris Carson's a big deal, but he just doesn't, you know, push his OSU-ness all that much.
No.
Yeah. There's not a guy in the league right now. Washington's been fine, but he hasn't been that. He's like the fourth option there for Pittsburgh.
Justice OSU in Baltimore.
OSU needs, and it doesn't have to have a Dez Bryant because there's just not one, you know. OSU needs some guys to stick and stand out because I think it would help in recruiting. That's how you start making those steps. You're not going to
absolutely miss,
unless your budget goes way up and you can start handing guys checks for, you know, large chunks of money. I'm half joking. You're not going to get the fours and fives to show up. So you have to start getting guys to get to the league and stick. I think Tevin Jenkins will, but offensive lineman only does so much for you. You need somebody who makes big plays. So when I look at Tylan, and we all love Tylan, and Tylan is awesome, I understand some of the concerns size-wise, height-wise for him in the NFL. But looking at him, can he be that guy for OSU that not only sticks but can stick out and start being someone people turn to and go, well, I love Tylan Wallace. He's so awesome. I'm going to go to OSU because Tylan Wallace went to OSU.
I think that's a very good question, but I think very solid no for two reasons. Not my opinion, NFL scouts' opinion, not a lot have him project him as a wide receiver one in the NFL. They project him as a two or a three, kind of that complementary wide receiver. And for the second reason being, not just because of the skill level, because I do think he's a stud. I do think he's much better wide receiver than a wide receiver for three in the NFL. But with that being said, the second reason, he doesn't have the personality for it, man. Dez Bryant was a very polarizing figure in the NFL with his throw up the X, with his antics, his talking, all the crap he talked to the camera, the crap he talked to other players. Those type of players with huge personalities, whether you love them or hate them, A.J. Ferrari is a great example for the Oklahoma State fans. People either love him or hate him because he just does ridiculous, loud things. And with Dez was that loud. He played for the Cowboys, the most recognizable logo in all, possibly of all American sports. And so I don't think that he didn't have that personality for it. You know, he's not going to get the media talking about, ooh, Tylan celebrated like this, or Tylan started a clothing brand with throw up the X or anything like that. So not because of his skill level, but because mainly just his personality and him off the field, I don't think he's going to garner enough conversations and mentions for people to really, you know, Tylan Wallace went to Oklahoma State. I want to be the next Tylan Wallace at Oklahoma State. I just don't think he has that in him personality-wise.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think there's some balance to it, right? Like, I think you have to have some kind of on-field production, but you have to have a little bit of something off the field to get people interested in your brand, because brand matters so much, especially in the NFL, because you can be so easily recognizable. But fit for a team matters too. It depends on where you land. And if you're James Washington and he's a good NFL player, when you play for the Steelers and you have Juju and some of these other guys that are going to get more, they're going to get the ball more than you. There's only so much you can do. And you have a quarterback that doesn't like to throw you the ball. So there's also that. Like, if Tylan ends up in a position where he can be a legit wide receiver to a wide receiver three in an offense with a quarterback and get him the ball, there's an opportunity there. But I just, like I said, I think I didn't really think about that until now. Like, he doesn't quite have that big time personality to really exude that in, you know, over the course of a full career. I think he's gonna be a good NFL player, have a solid career, but I don't know if he can ever be that guy now that I'm thinking about it.
And I don't mean to knock him on that
at all.
Yes. Like, I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's just that it was, it is. And he's just not that player who cares about the off field stuff enough to kind of get the people talking. And I just don't think his brand will ever be that big. You brought up Juju Smith-Schuster. I would argue he wasn't even their best offensive weapon. But why did you think of Juju before Claypool or before someone else?
It's the TikTok.
Because of his brand and TikTok and Instagram and Twitter and everything else he does. And so that's why people associate him as kind of the big offensive threat there. Just to bring it all back around, Tylan's off the field stuff, I do not think at this point is going to bring all the people in.
He's still probably
– I don't think LSU's going to have a wide receiver like that, though. Like, that's the problem. And I think part of it's the guys they go after. Let's pay attention. I mean, James Washington, super quiet. Tylan Wallace, super quiet, does his job. Like, that's the kind of receivers they want to bring in. They don't bring in Dez Bryant anymore. Let's be honest. Like, name me the last guy who was like that at wide receiver. But even when Tyreek Hill was at LSU, he wasn't – like, we all liked – he was all awesome, but he wasn't that, right? Like, name me the last Dez Bryant at Oklahoma State. Even Blackman, when he was there, I mean,
was quiet and kind of did his own
quiet
thing.
Like, that's the kind of guys that they seem to want to recruit. And that, it's the same wide receiver coach for all these guys.
We're talking wide receiver, but if we want to talk from a brand perspective, I know we've talked about it as well off the pod, just about the different players Oklahoma State's got. I mean, we've got a safety over here who's releasing rap albums. And while you can think whatever about his rap album, he is building his brand off the field. I totally get what you're saying, especially at the wide receiver position, and especially like who Casey Dunn likes. I think we've all kind of seen when Dunn really, really likes you and puts effort into you and picks you as the guy. I mean, Oklahoma State's always got a guy at wide receiver, at the wide receiver one position. So I do agree with that as wide receiver, but I do think we've got other positions on the field that we do have some character. So I do think if their play was ever elevated that high, it could be a brand like that.
My mind totally went blank too.
Yep.
Okay, I also want to mention something that's even a fast forward a year. You talked about 4 is kind of the record for Oklahoma State guys getting drafted in a year. I think next year Oklahoma State's going to have – mark my words. Hopefully you guys will bring me back again in 365 days. But mark my words, I do think Oklahoma State will possibly have 3, maybe 4, could be 5 and break that record next year.
I think that's a legit possibility. I mean, you look at the – you got like Colby Harvell-Peel, Trey Sterling, Josh Sills, Trace Ford – and someone else that could pop, you know, even like a Tay Martin with a really big year in the Big 12 could be a
LD Brown, a Tay Martin, a Braden Johnson. There's a bunch of them, man. We wouldn't have hyped up Tevin Jenkins a year ago now. No. And now he's going to be the highest drafted Oklahoma State player in the past couple of years. There's no telling.
He's been the first O lineman to get drafted since Russell Okung, which is just wild to think about.
What was that, 10 years ago?
Yeah, that was 09? 10? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. It's been good for him.
But I think it's going to help with this new – with the O-line coach, you know, only being there for a few years, seeing Tevin Jenkins go number one. And even from a brand perspective, you know, people have kind of got the Tevin Jenkins, like, I don't know if that was a team photo or whatever it was. Like, oh, my gosh, this guy –
official team photo.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my gosh, look at this guy. He's going to be a first-round pick. Like, this guy's blocking for me. And, like, people were poking fun, and, you know, people were having fun with it because he looked a little goofy. But, like, from a brand perspective, people have been talking about him. Tevin Jenkins' name has been in the media a lot, and I do think that has something to do with it.
One of my favorite things, there's a guy on YouTube that does a lot of like film breakdowns and stuff, Brett Coleman. He did a whole video on Tevin Jenkins, and title card on the video was Tevin Jenkins' official team photo. It said, "This is the meanest man in college football."
Exactly. Like, with that picture and saying the meanest man in college football, that's going to get anyone to click on it.
Oh, and it did. And then the first clip was to the Jaws tune of him sending Joseph Osai to the bench.
a potential probable first round pick this year.
That also, yeah.
Yep. Look, it would be – you got to recruit offensive linemen. If him going first round, I think I would be surprised if he doesn't, right? Unless there just goes – unless some teams are just like, we're going to wait on offensive tackles until the second round. Yeah, like, look, if Penei Sewell doesn't go to, like, 10, then maybe not, because all of a sudden you see offensive linemen getting pushed back because everyone's drafting quarterbacks and wide receivers and other things, right? Or suddenly you get a run on running back in the second bottom of the first half for first round for some first round for some reason. And so he gets pushed to early second, which would suck. But he is pretty much consistently graded as a first-round pick. We've seen first-round picks go late because, you know, Seattle decides to pick some random player that might see the field twice a season and never again because, you know, they're Seattle. But it would be really good if he went first-round. Like, I think that's something you can sell. And I think OSU struggles recruiting on the offensive line this past year or two. I think they need that. I think that would benefit them a lot. And if you can get him first round and then get Josh Sills to go high in the draft next year, that would also benefit Oklahoma State. And this is where you have to take these opportunities if you're Oklahoma State and go, okay, we're gonna push these guys and develop them and turn them into these, because if we want to land these offensive linemen, if we want Kelvin Banks to say, okay, I'm going to come back to Oklahoma State. I committed and decommitted because everybody in the world wants me, and now I'm going to go back to Oklahoma State because, oh, look, all these guys are getting drafted here. Mm-hmm. This is a good place to go. Like, you need that. You need to do that. That's how you get guys. You can – folks, we can talk about – how hard you come after them, or landing helicopters, or sending tweets, or graphics, or their mama likes it, blah, 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 blah. Barbershops in practice facilities. At the end of the day, the best players all want to play together, and they all want to get drafted in the first round. Not drafted, drafted in the first round. That's what they want. That's why all these kids, all these camps, or why all the five stars go to the same places, because they all hook up together and they go, okay, let's all just go to the same school. And that's why they all go to the same schools.
No, the kids are in massive group texts. There's a five-star group text that I found out about. There's a four-star group text. And they meet at all these camps, only 7-on-7 or Adidas All-American, that type of thing. And all these kids are in camps and they're talking about everything. Hey, this is why I'm going to Oklahoma State. I'm going to Virginia Tech. I'm going to Florida. And they're recruiting each other. And it's just like you said, they get these relationships, these bonds. It's like, hey, let's go do this together. And a team or a school that can show not only can we produce first rounders and four draft picks, but consistency. You know, Oklahoma State, every, I feel like, 3 or 4 years, they've got a guy in contention for the top three rounds. Going back to Emmanuel Ogba and kind of back since then, like, I just feel like there's always a guy every two or three. But with this year's class, like we've talked about, four, possibly five get drafted. And if they can do something like that, similar, replicate that next year, I think that could completely change Oklahoma State's recruiting for the next 5 to 6 years.
And I feel like, I mean, Philip, you follow recruiting way more than I have, but I feel like they have done a fantastic job, at least early in this class, of getting and recognizing talent early and getting guys to commit before the season even starts, before the 22 season even starts. You can expand on that a little more, but I feel like they've done a really good job early on in the recruiting cycle getting guys early.
They've done a better job in state, and they realize that you can get – every kid's different, and there's a difference between the kids who all want to go in the first, because they all think they're going to go, like, not everyone's so arrogant that they're like, I'm going to be a first-round draft pick. So other things do matter, and that's when you get into the high threes, the low fours. Like, if you're talking five stars, they all want to go to the same place, and they all want to get the first-round pick. They're a five-star. They've been being told forever that they're going to be an NFL all-star or all-pro, whatever. Pro Bowl. God, I cannot. Words escape me. But you get a lot of these kids, they want to stay and stay. They want to stay close to home. It's nice. And I think the pandemic, to some extent, for a lot of them, staying close to home is nice. It's a good thing. Staying close to family is a positive. I know she's put more emphasis. Look at, they've been landing more of the top guys in state. You're never going to get the number one pick. Like, they're going to go out of state or go to Oklahoma. It's going to happen a lot. Just deal with it. But you're getting guys, four-star talents in the state of Oklahoma, because you've had more of those, and Oklahoma State's done a better job keeping them in-house. So if you just, I know he's a high three, but you just, Braylon Presley, like, that's a big deal. Like they're identifying the guys that fit their system well. I go back to Ty Williams, the safety, who was the quarterback at Muskogee. They identified him. He ends up getting rated as a 4-star safety. Like, he wasn't rated as a 4-star safety. He comes to Oklahoma. He commits to Oklahoma State, and they're like, "Oh wait, no, this guy is one.
This kid's a stud."
And so OSU is doing a better job of evaluating this stuff. They know what they want. They know what they're going after. They know what fits their system, and their system is turning them into the kinds of guys like Trey Sterling's and Rodarius Williams and Colby Harvell Peels and Jerick Bernard Converse and Malcolm Rodriguez. Like, it's not just that the scheme is good. They're recruiting well, they're developing guys, and they're finding guys that fit a mold that can fit these roles and play them well.
And that's what I think they've gotten better at, was those last couple points, because I think they're getting the guys they want even more. Like, getting Trace Ford out of Santa Fe was huge. That's kind of starting that a little bit of a pipeline there. The Presley brothers, obviously, we saw what the oldest one could do in the bowl game. One guy that I know the team's really excited about that's a random name, not an in-state guy, but the little wide receiver, John Paul Richardson out of Houston. Mm-hmm. He had some other big schools going after him. I know some big schools were interested in him after he committed to Oklahoma State, and he told them, like, I'm 100% committed. There's no point. Like, I'm not coming to do a visit or anything. So I really think, yeah, they're not having to go get these 5-stars, but they're getting these sometimes 2, 3, and 4 stars who perfectly fit exactly what they're looking for, and they're molding them into what they need to be, and that's why it's turning out so well over the next couple of years.
I think they are doing a better job on defense now than they ever have before of knowing exactly what to go get and knowing exactly what to turn them into. I think this is not NFL draft related, but I don't care. I think we're going to look back on Gundy's career and end up saying, and this is a big statement and I will stand by it, that Jim Knowles was the best hire of Mike Gundy's tenure.
Wow.
I wholeheartedly believe it. You look at what they're doing on defense. Rodarius Williams, I was high on him coming into the year. No one thought he was going to be as good as he was. And look at where he was. He didn't win the awards for Big 12 because literally teams wouldn't throw to him, so he didn't have the stats to be like, well, he was the best corner. No, he was the best corner. I don't understand why he wasn't the best corner. He was, because you wouldn't throw to him for a reason. You literally just like, nah, just throw the other side of the field. We're going to throw it. Jerick Bernard Converse and Christian Holmes, we're not throwing it here, so we're just not going to do it. Like, they're finding these guys, and they're turning – Tevin Jenkins. I realize that's offensive line, but I really believe they have figured out exactly what they want to do. They are really, really smart about it, and they're going after and getting the guys they want, and look what they're turning this defense into with them. It's not a fluke that the defense was as good as it was last year. They just lucked into all those players. You don't just luck into Rodarius Williams and Jerick Bernard Converse and Trey Sterling and Colby Harvell-Peel and – Malcolm Rodriguez and Israel Antoine and Trace Ford, and that's not how it works.
I agree. And I got something to add in on that.
At a crazy high level.
I got to interrupt you there for one player that we haven't mentioned the whole time that falls along with everything that you've been saying. A player who, you know, fits the exact mold, fits what they want, even if he wasn't already a 4-star. I think this kid's very underrated, especially in the NFL, or especially as an NFL prospect. But Tyler Lacy, man, I mean, I want to say I'm saying off the top of my head, I think he put up better numbers than Trace Ford last year, and I think Trace Ford's a stud and a future first-round pick. But with that being said, I think Tyler Lacy put up some wild numbers last year. And I'm going off the top of my head as well. I don't think he had any other Power 5 offers. And if he did, I want to say it was like Tech or Iowa State. No offense, good schools. But I want to say it was Tech or Iowa State. And so they went into the Dallas area, found a kid that they want that fits their mold, another Texas kid, bringing up John Paul Richardson and Trey Sterling, another Dallas kid, that I think they're just going into Texas and they're finding exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah. Tyler Lacy, going out 24-7. Tyler Lacy had offers from OSU, Arkansas State, Colorado State, UConn, Houston, Louisiana, Monroe, Marshall, North Texas, SMU, Texas State, Texas Tech. Texas and TCU showed interest but didn't offer. Like, that was his offer list.
And Texas and TCU probably paid attention because he's a Dallas kid and he's a Texas kid, and they just, you know, just checked in on him.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job, and I think Jim Knowles is a huge part of it. I think they have good staff. I think they've been able to build a recruiting staff, add more to it, better evaluators, more guys to keep an eye on things. But I think Jim Knowles, I think this is a large part of Jim Knowles' effect.
I agree.
I do want to bring up one point from this past weekend. So they had the spring game and all that, and spring games are what, you know, whatever. It's a very controlled environment, hard to take much away from them. But I want to talk about Philip. I think we're going to talk about this later, but it just, I think it's, it goes back to kind of the branding and, you know, the taking care of your own, kind of at Oklahoma State hasn't done a good job of in the past. I'll call a spade a spade. But this weekend they had, I think they called it like Legends Weekend or something like that, but they brought a lot of guys from either the early Gundy era or even after, during, that really haven't been around. We haven't seen them a lot. Like Adarius Bowman came to this weekend for the golf tournament at Carson Creek. He was at the spring game. They interviewed him. They were interviewing former players on the field during the game, on the broadcast with Dave Hunsiker. They made a big deal about having former players back for the spring game. And they haven't done that in the past, at least on social media. And I think that's such a welcome change, because it's taking care of your own. It's taking care of your former players and getting them back in the building. And when you have a big recruiting weekend like Oklahoma State had with some more 22 guys, seeing those guys are like, oh, I'm welcome to come. Like, whenever I'm done here, I can come back. We just haven't seen that. And now to see it here, it sucks that it takes until now, like year 17 under Gundy, to really see this. But it's a welcome change and something that really does matter in the long run.
I couldn't agree more. I've been on the sideline at both Oklahoma State and Oklahoma during the spring games. And when you go to the OU spring game, which I get it, more fans, blah, blah, blah. But when you go to an OU spring game, on the sidelines, you see Kyler Murray. You sometimes see Gerald McCoy. You sometimes see Adrian Peterson. You see, and not only Ardarius Bowman was great, but you see these even more recent just stars and studs.
Yeah, I think James Washington was in town too.
Yeah, they said, yeah, I agree. This weekend, I noticed that as well. They were so much better at it this past year than any other year before. But at OU, all these guys are coming back. Kyler's there. All these big, big recent names. And Oklahoma State, I just don't think, has done very well with the relationship side of things, especially with a lot of the more recent grads or more recent players. So I thought that was refreshing and awesome as well, to see all those guys back this past weekend.
I mean – It's huge. You want, especially from a recruiting standpoint, spring game is a big deal. You had a lot of unofficial visitors there. You should have alumni there. You should have guys that played in the league. You should have guys that can chat these kids up and be like, I know, da 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 da. Like, you want James Washington, who's still playing in the NFL. You would love to get Chris Carson back. You should have Dez Bryant there. Like, Dez Bryant should be more than welcome. He should be eagerly invited to come to Oklahoma State games. And I don't care if he wants to be obnoxious and be on the sideline, just get him there. It's going to help. Like, it's going to.
Couldn't agree more. It's the brand.
Brandon Whedon shows up a lot. Could he show up more? Like, the guys who are the faces. Where's Mason Rudolph? Like, he's still playing in the league.
I don't think people notice
Oklahoma State enough. And I'm like, is that a poor relationship? What's going on there? Why does Chris Carson not like Oklahoma State, man? That's where I spent the two best years in my college. I'm here because part of that, like, that kind of stuff needs to be.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Happening because it's only going to help you. When Tevin Jenkins gets drafted in the first round, I'm going to tell you right now, he better be there for the home opener. And they're going, there he is, first round pick offensive lineman to insert NFL team, Tevin Jenkins, here at the Oklahoma State game, blah, 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 blah. Like, get him there. Get him there.
And I do just think they've done not as well. I don't know if it's Gundy, if it's the staff. I'm not really sure what and where this connects, but I think we might may have talked about this before on the pod. Look at all the little brothers that didn't commit to Oklahoma State in the past 4 to 5 years. And I think that's – you maybe be able to connect the two a little bit. Because if that relationship is so great and so strong and the trust and belief in Oklahoma State, the program and everything, I think they would have got some more of those players, some more of those little brothers. But we've talked about before, you can name 3, 4, 5 little brothers. But, hey, look, Presley, the younger Presley's coming. So maybe they're kind of focusing more in on that, doing a little bit better. I want them to do as well as they physically possibly can at that because go Pokes. But I do think there's been a huge void in that over the past 4 to 5 years.
I think part of when they looked into Gundy because of the T-shirt – I don't mean to bring up the T-shirt because it doesn't need to be brought up, but I do think it has to be brought up because it is the starting point for Oklahoma State doing some things they should have been doing that they really took a good hard look at the program and said, these are problems. As they said, Mike Gundy doesn't have a good relationship with the players. Mike Gundy didn't have a good relationship with the players. He probably didn't have a good relationship with the alumni who were the players under him because it's not like they left and he certainly built one, right? Like that probably didn't exist. I think this is a positive born from a negative situation saying, this is a problem. Let's fix this. And they are doing it. When you see how many players, they got to come back. And I think that was a concerted effort to get as many of them as possible. And you've seen players like Tatum Bell on Twitter saying, I couldn't make the spring game, but I can't wait to be there this fall. When you're seeing these guys emphasize that, that tells you the university is doing what it should do and trying to get guys back, making the concerted effort to get these alumni back and around the program and around campus. It is beneficial. It is a big deal. It does matter. It should be that way. Like, you should have – I would talk about Tony Allen. Tony Allen talks about his time at Oklahoma State all the time. Tony Allen does radio in Memphis all the time. It may not matter for recruiting, but I want
that. Helps the brand.
I want the guy – and I want the guys that we all cheer for and that we still like. I see you saying Chris Carson. I love Chris Carson. I am the biggest Chris Carson, former Oklahoma State current, and I hate Seattle Seahawks. I am not a Seahawks fan. I will not be a Seahawks fan. But I will root my ass off for Chris Carson. Like, all damn day. And I want him to be like, I can't wait to be at Oklahoma State this weekend. Like, I want that. And I think OSU fans do too, and I think that matters in recruiting. It isn't the thing, but it's
a thing.
It's a little thing that's only going to benefit you. It's not going to hurt you, but not doing it can hurt you.
I couldn't agree more. And this past weekend was a good start to it. But if we want to be real, our Darius Bowman, Tatum Bell, and Brandon Wheaton aren't pulling in any young 4 and 5 stars. So while, yeah, you guys are 100% right, it's a step in the right direction. But there's still a ways for them to go in terms of that. And just as an example to bring up, you know, those guys aren't helping recruits. I was talking to a guy in this draft, and I brought up Josh Rosen. We bring up an example. He's like, who? You don't know who Josh Rosen is? And he's like, no. I'm like, wow. Okay, so quarterback who went first round, what, 4 years ago, isn't that relevant anymore if he didn't make it. Four years ago, it was two or three. It was three years ago. Two?
How long has Sam Darnold been in there? Because he was the same year.
I think we'd be in the middle of three. That was 2018?
I think we'd be in the middle of three.
Okay, there you go.
Lamar was 2 years.
2018 NFL draft, 2018.
Yeah, good call, Joe.
Because that was Murray and then Allen and then
And so I just bring that up to say, like, those guys are so far out there. Unless you were an Oklahoma State fan growing up or a Broncos with Tatum or a Browns guy and you just saw Whedon get drafted, I just don't think their names carry any weight in recruiting. So like you guys said, yeah, great first step, but I think Oklahoma State has to be better at that if they want to do all the small things to kind of bring in those big-time guys.
Agreed. I'd get James Washington, get Mason Rudolph. Like, they're in the league. They're playing.
Get Emmanuel Ogba. There's so many guys out
please.
There.
Please. Yeah, it's –
Vincent Taylor, dude. Vincent Taylor's from the New Orleans area, then transferred to Houston and graduated high school before he came to Oklahoma State. He's not a huge – Vincent's not a huge name in the NFL, but if you could pick two areas to recruit from, Louisiana and Houston, you never have to leave. You never have to go anywhere else. Yep. And so while he's not a big name, he has those roots there. And I just think there's so many guys in the league who they just kind of, you know, aren't really using to their full potential with a name and their brand.
Trey Flowers,
a great example from what, San Antonio?
May not be guys who are pro bowlers, but I don't care. Like, they're still playing. They're currently playing. Get them in. Like,
absolutely, and they can help, especially where they're from. San Antonio isn't producing, you know, I mean, no offense to San Antonio. I'm from BFE, Oklahoma, so we don't have any. But San Antonio's not just producing, you know, 10 first-round draft picks a year. But that means – so since there's not as many making the league, there's less guys to come back and help recruit. Vincent can go back to San Antonio – or Vincent could go back to Houston. Trey can go back to San Antonio. And then do that stuff together. And those little niche, those little smaller towns and cities look up to those guys for being in the NFL. And that's just not something OSU's kind of brought all in together.
I think it's something they're working on. I think it's something a little bit better. I think it's something that will continue to move forward. And I think it's one of the things where you make a concerted effort. It takes a little bit of time to figure it all out.
And I was wrong on Vincent Taylor. Sorry. Vincent Taylor's from San Antonio area as well with Trey Flowers. So they should be able to
– He was born in New Orleans.
Yes.
He went to high school in San Antonio. He played at OSU. He's playing in Miami, yes. Buffalo, Cleveland, and now he's in Houston.
Yes.
So
much connection at San Antonio area just with those two guys right there. Should be getting a lot of more guys out of there.
So, look, let's swing back around to the NFL draft after we have gone in a bunch of different directions. Really great conversation. We have gone a lot of different directions here. How chaotic is this weekend going to be for you?
For me, it won't be as bad. I've only got one guy for this year's draft. Pretty probable that he will be drafted. So it won't be as crazy for me as years in the past. What really gets crazy is when a player goes undrafted. People don't really know. I've talked about him on the pod a little bit before. People don't really understand how that free agent process goes. You're not supposed to kind of get deals done until after the draft is already done. And so your phone starts ringing, all these teams are calling. That's not really how it works. For example, I've had 8 teams call me. It's Tuesday night at almost 9 p.m. And I've had around 8 teams call me in the past 48 hours talking about, hey, we're interested in my player as an undrafted free agent. Let's start talking about the money. Let's start talking about how we're going to get this deal done. And so a lot of people kind of have that stuff done before the draft is even over with. And so mine won't be as crazy, man. I do think he gets drafted. But yeah, for some people, man, if you've got 4 players who are all going undrafted, it's crazy. Last year I had 3 who went undrafted. And it was wild. I had 2 phones. Someone was calling this phone, had to hand it to another agent I was working with. He would just tell him to hold on. I'd be on the phone with the Eagles, and the Giants would call, and the Colts would call. So it gets a little wild. But luckily this year, I'm pretty confident my guy's getting drafted, and if not, we'll have him in a good spot. So my weekend won't be too crazy.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome.
Man, the draft's always fun.
It's a good time. Yes, I'm a baseball guy. I'm knee deep in the baseball season right now. But for like one weekend, I go full nerd on the NFL draft. Like I follow a bunch of like mock drafts are what they are, but it's at least interesting to follow. I follow like draft guides and scouting reports. Like I have those up on my computer while I'm watching. I am a huge nerd for it for some reason. I don't know why.
That was my favorite weekend of the year. It was really my favorite before I was working in it. But it's still one of my favorite weekends of the entire year, man. It's just so fun. And getting to see the kids when they get drafted and when they sign that first NFL contract, man, like it's cool. Like not a lot of people get to live their lifelong dream and everything they put those hours into. And for a split second, you get to see these kids so happy when they get to realize like, hey, I get my chance to live this thing that I've wanted to do since I was 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. It's going to be a ton of fun. And you know, Philip, we've talked about it. We're going to see at least 4 probably Oklahoma State guys go during the 3 days, and 1 on day 1 most likely with Tevin Jenkins. So it's going to be really good. It's going to be good for Oklahoma State. Going to be good for those guys, and get to follow their careers. And I'm a huge Chiefs fan, but I root for all these dudes whenever they have the opportunity to play in the NFL. Like I remember, like I Tyron Johnson scoring touchdowns for the Chargers. Like, it was the Chargers. Like, I don't like the Chargers. But when he's catching balls for touchdowns, I was like, no, that's awesome. I was retweeting that shit. Like, that's awesome.
Good to see. Good yep.
Stuff. Yes.
Okay, so you're a Chiefs fan, Joel.
Yes.
If you could pick one. Oh, I'm going to interview you a little bit on this pod. If you could pick one Oklahoma State player to be drafted to the Chiefs, and I mean kind of, you know, in their projected area. You can't take Tevin Jenkins in the seventh. Who would you pick and why?
I'd take Tylan at 63. I think he would.
Another undersized receiver for the Chiefs?
But he plays a lot bigger than that, though. And I'm not – he doesn't need to be a true X, but he plays off a vertical plane, which a lot of the Chiefs players do. But he can go up. He's really great at the catch point. He's aggressive at the catch point. He's athletic enough to have to be able to run a better route tree than like Mecole Hardman or something like that, which I think the Chiefs are going to try and move off of. I think he fits what Andy Reid wants as an X, even if he's not 6'4", 220. Like, he can play bigger than who he is, and he'll definitely he'll pancake someone on the outside on run
block
too. So I think even though he's 6 foot or something like that, like, he plays a lot bigger than that and still can. And Patrick Mahomes will still find a way to get him the ball. Like, it's going to be fine. But I don't think the Chiefs don't need another running back. They're not going to get if the Chiefs were at 31, I was all in on Tevin Jenkins. Like, the trade this past week completely changed my answer.
Great trade for the Chiefs, I think.
Oh, love that. Yeah. Amen is just another dude. Like, the Chiefs don't need another linebacker that's a run stopper and can't play anybody in coverage. And Dylan Stone, you know, maybe a Dylan Stoner wouldn't be bad in like a seventh rounder UDFA. Like, I think that's another dude that can, again, if Dave Tobe, the Chiefs special teams guy, likes him, Dave Tobe always gets his guy. So that's, if nothing else, you get him as a special teamer and a dude can be like a wide receiver four.
Joel, just for funsies, Charles Goldman, a Chiefs wire, put up his seven round mock draft for the Chiefs yesterday. We're on Tuesday. This is Tuesday, Monday. Let me get the days right. At pick 58, Oklahoma State wide receiver Tylan Wallace. Just in case you wanted that.
Yeah, as a Chiefs fan, I would go edge at 58 and a wide receiver 63. I am no GM or expert, but that's how I would do it.
I'll be texting you during it to see what we're thinking.
Yeah, for sure.
We're just going to set up a group text, and the three of us are going to have a lot of fun on Thursday.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I love, especially the first round. The first round's fascinating, and I feel like there's going to be some chaotic crap that goes on in the first round. I don't know why, but I think
we're
going to see some weird trade-up for something.
Weird year, there's got to be something weird going on.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully no Laramie Tunzel videos. Oh, God. But
there's going to be one stupid thing like that that happens. It happens every year.
See, and for these reasons, I, looking at it as a fan, not as an agent, I dislike the first round because I do think there's so much fluff and so much like, oh my gosh, let's show this kid in his home. Like, yeah, that's cool. Be happy. We like to see it. But I love the second. I love day two and day three because that's when the scouts really keep their jobs and make their money. That's when like everything's on. Like, you know, you hit on your first and second round picks. That's cool. It's great. You're gonna be successful. But you make your team with those third through seventh and those undrafted cats. I love the day two and day three. I just think it's so fun. And you being a big draft guy, I feel like you'd enjoy it as well. That's where the nitty and gritty starts.
Yes. Day two and three, it's appointment television, or days one and two. And then day three, like, I have it on in the background as I'm doing something else. Cause
gotcha.
those picks go by quick. And it's also half the time it's like, who the heck is that guy? Which can happen sometimes.
Absolutely.
You have anything else, Philip?
Nope. I'm good. I'm tapped out. I think I don't even have things I said tonight already.
Well, I'm going to ask you both one more question.
All right, let's go.
I want to hear, because we can revisit this in a couple years, who's going to have who's going to have the longest career in the NFL out of all the Oklahoma State potential draft picks this year?
Kevin.
Yeah. I hate to be lazy and be like the higher draft pick one, but I mean, he's the one you feel most confident in.
It's really not lazy though. Like we've talked about last year, no one would have expected this. So I don't think it's lazy.
Of the others, Man, corner is so hard. I love Rodarius Williams. I think he should get drafted. I think he'll play. Corner is such a tough position. I think we look at James Washington in Pittsburgh and the fact that he's still there and they developed him and they keep him. I think Tylan will. I think Tylan can have a long career. Now, I also think Tylan can be one of those guys who gets drafted. Team works on him. There's no way you get drafted. That's part of the problem. It's hard to say that without landing spot, because you can go to Pittsburgh and they keep their guys for as long as they can at wide receiver. You could go to Tylan could go somewhere that's just like, we draft a new guy every year because we don't stick with anything unless they're awesome. So like
the Seahawks are running backs. Luckily they've got Chris Carson up there, but they draft a damn running back every single year. Because it's like, that's just what we do. We draft another one. They can't keep him healthy.
I think Tylan will have a long career if he has a good quarterback. Like if he goes to Denver and they have Drew Locke, like that's a problem. Or like if he goes to someone like a Kansas City where he has a quarterback that's going to be there for a long time and is good, like I think that helps any wide receiver. It helps any wide receiver a long consistent career. But yeah, I say Tevin because I think if you put him left, right tackle, or if you want to kick him inside the guard, like he's good. That dude's a 10-year starting offensive lineman. Like I have no doubt about that. But
he's the one that I can make that claim, not worried about where he lands.
No. But I also
interesting.
Yeah. But I will say this. I think you could see I could see Dylan Stoner having a long career as like a special teams god. Like
I hope it for him, man. He's a good kid. Put in the work at Oklahoma State. Didn't complain when he didn't get the ball this year. Just strapped up, put his helmet on, and did the dirty work and did what he's supposed to do, man. I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah, he's a dude that I'll be excited if he gets his name called, I'm gonna be ecstatic.
John Paul Richardson going to be – because they have to have one inside white dude.
John Paul Richardson is Dylan Stoner 2.0. He's wearing number 17.
Like he's got to be the next one, right?
He'll be better.
Whoa, that's a take.
I like Dylan Stoner. I think he's a stud. I like the John Paul. I like him, man.
I saw someone say it earlier today. I had no idea Dylan Stoner was sixth in school history in catches.
Wish the pod could see my face when I heard that, because I did not believe that either.
Yeah. Well, again, he was at Oklahoma State for like 8 years, so it kind of makes sense, but still.
he's the Perry Ellis of OSU football.
Honestly. But no, I do think, Dylan Stoner is a lot to keep up with, but I'm a big fan of this John Paul Richardson kid.
It's exciting. Yeah, I'm tapped now. I think I said something about Jim Knowles that I'll stand by. But I'm currently feel like old school where Will Ferrell goes off and blacks out and says something really smart. That's where I feel right now.
Yeah. Okay, so I just looked it up. Dylan Stoner is sixth. Tylan Wallace is fifth in school history.
That's wild. That really is.
So it's Dylan Stoner, Tylan Wallace going up. And then Hartley Dykes, James Washington, Justin Black, and Rashawn Woods.
That's not a bad list to be a part of.
Not at all. Not at all.
Nope.
Oh, man. Well, John Paul Richardson won't make it there because he'll only be there for 3 years. All right, that's a little out there, but I'm just, you know, hopefully we can come back to this.
Hey, man, you're on a heater. I like it. I like it.
I can't wait to start introducing Luke Murtry, John Paul Richardson's biggest fan.
If he gets a 100-yard game this season, you have to make your Twitter name for one day John Paul Richardson fan account.
No, you guys have to, because I was right. It has to be the name of the pod. You have to bring on John Paul Richardson, and you guys are his biggest fans.
They don't. That won't happen until he's done, because they don't let us have things.
Yeah.
Hey, that'll work.
They don't let us have nice things.
Just set an alarm on my phone for 4 years.
So when you sign him and get him drafted, you have to make him come on the podcast.
Deal. I'm in.
There we go. Done.
Next year when I get some Oklahoma State cats, they'll be on the podcast. No worries.
I'm going to set my calendar alert for 2025 now.
Oh man. All right. Hey, Luke, this has been awesome. Thank you so much. Best of luck this weekend for, you know, your client, and hope he gets his name called. Now, you know, I know you'll get him to the right team. For everyone that wants to follow you and follow what's going on this weekend with you and your player and all that, where can they do that?
Yeah. Do that on Instagram or on Twitter. They're both the same. It's just at Luke, LUKE, last name McMurtry, McMurtry. And I'll actually be with him during the draft. So I'll be posting some stories on Instagram, posting some updates with him.
That's awesome. So, and I'm sure that the three of us will be talking on draft, you know, on draft day and as the weekend goes on. So it's going to be a ton of fun. I love the NFL draft. I absolutely love it.
I'm excited for it. Appreciate you guys for having me on. Always love it.
Absolutely. We'll have to do this again, not a year apart. Like, we'll have to do it at some point in between there.
We'll have to come back and revisit all our draft predictions.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here for it. All right. We will talk to you all next
week. Just wrap here.
Let's just wrap here. Follow Philip at OKTXARPOPE. Follow me at JT Penfield. Follow the site at Cowboys RFS. We'll be back next week. We'll have something for you. Philip and I will figure it out.